We were in the middle of discussing the Shaka V'Tari of the Gemara here about whether or not we could find a way to give Hasra to Yomin. So if we recall the Shaka V'Tari, first we had Amar Rava, Teda, Nisra Emas, Nisra Miyakara, Rishla, Nisra Vishas Maisha, Parshul Osadi, Nisra Lavasof, Maida Hava Hava. Right? You can't give Hasra afterwards because Maida Hava Hava, it's too late. And then later on, Abaye comes back with a chap to Rava and says, Maslu Abaye, Vinishru Besoch de Dibur. You can give Soch de Dibur, and then Rava Acha, Bredu Rav Ika says, or you can give Asra well in advance and then just give them a hint. It's an interesting question. In the end, what happens in the end? What's the halacha? Is the halacha like Rav or like Abaye, right? Can you give us Asra the Imzogar or not? In the end, it's irrelevant, because we pass like what Abaye went back and later said, Rishalam Milsi to Amri, Imzogar don't need Asra in the first place. So therefore, there's nothing to talk about. But, forget about the fact that in the end, Imzogar are punished without Asra. But within the rules of Asra, right, what would we say about Abaye's attack that you give Asra afterwards, hope they deeper? And Ravakabar Dri Ravika, that you give Asra in advance and then you miramis them to later. So the Pashup shot in the Gemara, is that there's no response, the maska for that response. The Pashup shot is that theoretically, if we were talking about a case where you wouldn't need Hasra, we would paskin like Abaye and Ravach Barikas Maskif, that there are two ways to give Hasra to Eid of Zolman if you would need to, or if you could find some parallel case where you would need to. One is within Tofti Dibur, and two is give Hasra well in advance, and you were Ramis to them. However, it's not so Pashut, because the Gilyan Ashas points out here, Ayin Makas, Daf Dalad, Amit Beis, Barashi, Maskil, Eid of Zolman, Yitzruf, Masra, Vitzar, Yitzruf, Tzas, that Rashi in Makas of Dalim Beis says, Eidim Zomen don't need Hasra.
Isn't there a difference between the two? There's a equity difference between the two. One is that it's Hasra Baru, and the other one is Hasra after the Ma'is.
Correct. In Achadami, I agree. Within the Shaka V'Tari of the Gemara, they're parallel, but in Svara, they're not the same, I agree. Rashi says in Makas of Dalim Beis that Eidim Zomen don't need Hasra. Why? Biksubas Armina Time of Elonaris Nasrivu Emas Vichuli. He quotes that there's no time to give them Hasra. And the Pashup Shanim Rashi is, now it's not clear, maybe by Vichuli he means read the whole Sugya. He didn't Davka mean to quote the beginning of the Sugya. But the Pashup Shanim Rashi, you could have says, Armina Time of Elonaris Vijam Kashar Zama, which is the end of the Sugya. Why did you go back to the beginning of the Sugya and quote? Why did you go back to the beginning of the sugya and quote Rava? He says Nasiru Emas. So it might be that Rashi holds that really we pass them like Rava, like the beginning of the sugya and the mask of Abaye. Why didn't Rava bother to respond to the mask of Abaye? Because it became irrelevant in the end anyway. But theoretically, Rava was right and not Abaye's maskif. So it could be that maybe Rashi and Makos would hold that really you can't give us right after Sokhti Dibur, it's too late. And really, you can't give us an advance and then hint to them. Because a hint is not a surah. Maybe some people don't get hints. So, it's not 100% clear. It's not 100% clear, but Rashi in Makos, who says the reason Eid Zomer killed without a surah is because Nasir will aim us because of Rava, might hold that we pass like Rava, it's not Yal Kigam, we pass like Rava against Abaye. So here, the simple shot is, no, we pass like the Maskif against what comes before the Maskif. So if someone has a Maskif, and that knocks out the previous data. But Rashi might hold on, we pass like Rav against Abaye. Just because they didn't bother to continue this conversation because then they went in a new direction in Kasha Zama. The Rambam, I had an earlier record sheet in the Parish of Shnai Sanhedrin, also quotes Rav here. Now, that's not what he says in the Mishnah Torah, so I'm not saying that's necessarily the Shita of the Rambam. That's not what he says in Mishnah Torah, but it could be that at least in the Parish of Mishnayis, the Rambam also passed like Rav here. So, it's not clear with Maskana. The Maisa of the Maskana is not directly relevant. Because Eidim Zomen, Kasher Zomen, we don't care about Hasra. But let's say you had a parallel case where you did care about Hasra. Let's say you wanted to give someone Hasra for something they got Malkos, and you wanted to know for something else they got Malkos. Would it count as Hasra if you gave Hasra in advance in the Remez, or would it count as Hasra if you give Hasra after it's Tokdei Dibra when they could still retract? So, the shot of our Gemara is that it would count as Hasra, Matzkele Abayi, but the Ram appears for Shnais, and maybe Rashi and Malkos might hold like Rabba. No, that doesn't count as Hasra. That wasn't such a good Maskif.
Why do we even think of comparing Hasra to normal cases where you need Hasra? Is totally Dibur. Most of the other, all the other cases are Mises.
No, but let's say it was another case where you could retract Tokdei Dibur. Let's say, you know, I mean, let the Rambam says, right, if I buy Chametz on Pesach, so I get Malkus. Let's say I bought Chametz on Pesach, meaning Hasra Tokdei Dibur, when I can still say I changed my mind and I'm not buying it. So that could theoretically be enough Gemina, right? Or other, you know, according to, I think the Rambam says, if I sell land to keep past the Yomel and Eretz Yisrael and get Malkus. Right? So what if you give me a Hasra Tokdei Dibur and you say, quick, retract your sale, and I say, no, I like the sale. So that's, Taka could be enough Gemina between Rava and Abayi. Gidon pointed out to me that the Avni Miluim son-in-law, who wrote the index for the Avni Miluim in the back, and also put little asterisks and sometimes threw in answers to questions there, Ha'aros is Shir, I think his name is Shlomo Yehuda Rappaport, if I remember exactly what this stands for. He had another answer there, Ayin Shum, who said there, no, really, Rashi and Makos didn't mean to pass on like Rava, Ayin Shum, but certainly Rashi and Makos and the Rama appears from the Sanhedrin, it sounds like they pass on like Rava. Well, Pashim Shad and Argamar, you would think we pass in like Abaye. Now, getting back to the Lumdus, what do we see here? We see here two things. One, that my dahava hava. It's too late later. That is what Rava says. Now, it could be that we hold like Rava my dahava hava. But let's assume now that we're also going to mention Abaye. This is Rava. Then Abaye responds that Nasri Behu Toch Dibur. What is this Shakla Bataria? What is Rava saying? What's Abaye answering? So there are two ways in the Mefarshim to explain what's going on in our Gemara. What's Rava saying? And what is Abaye answering? What does Rashi say? What's Rava saying? What does Rava mean by Maida Hava Hava? It means clearly you can't give someone Hasra when they have no choice what to do about it, right? Hasra is meaningless if the person has no Bechira Chashis. Right? If I murder someone and the guy's already dead, you can't give me Hasra. It's too late for me to have any input into it. You have to give me Hasra while I can still decide what to do. So, my Dehava Hava means, says Rashi, because Eino Choser Umagid. My Dehava Hava, because you're Eino Choser Umagid. Then what does Abaye come back and attack Rava with? What fact does Abaye use to attack Rava? The fact that Tokdei Dibur, you can be Choser Umagid, right? Tokdei Dibur Yachol Lachzerbo. Right, so Rava said it's true afterwards when you can't retract your testimony, what's the point of Hasra? And Abaye says you're right, but right afterwards you still can retract your testimony and Hasra is effective. Yeah, for murder. Here we're talking about Adam Zuckman, right? You didn't kill anyone, right? You just made him socked in, right? Right, because then they'd be potter anyway. Okay. If you look at it this way, Tosfos has a, and what does Rashi say? Sorry. Says Rashi, my dehava hava kim shehin and chozer magid and yuchol lachzor. It's later. Okay. La'achas she'idu the tokdei dibur kedibur dami v'chol and lachzor. Right, that's right there because that's when they are yuchol and lachzor tokdei dibur. The Tosas also assumes Yechol and Lachzor Tokdei Dibur. Tosas says Rashi Tokdei Dibur. We've been talking about Himatzu Hadibur Huvav Vesrei Ikat Femi Kedei Dibur. By the time you give that Hasra, it's more than Kedei Dibur. So he says, no, because Mancha also knows the Dabar Chashva Kol Tokdei Dibur. No, he says, no problem. He says, it's considered Tokdei Dibur, even though it might take me 20 words to give you Hasra, and then you respond. That's all called Tochtei Dibur, because as long as Tochtei Dibur, the retzef of people carrying on the conversation, that's called Tochtei Dibur, and Yachol, that's called Tochtei Dibur, and Yachol Lachservo. Here, if this is the principle, we have a question brought up by the Ravid. What does the Ravid say? The Ravid says you can only be Chozer Tochtei Dibur. Here's the question. The question is, well, what's the Ravid's question? What's the Ravid's question? Anyone? The I actually thought when I made this Makorah sheet that it was two Rishonim who said this. The Ravid quoted the Rashba, and the Ra'ah quoted the Sheet Rishon, the Sheet from the Betzes, which I put in brackets. Then I looked at the Sheet of the Betzes with footnotes, and the footnote pointed out that the Ra'ah is never quoted in the Sheet Rishon, the Sheet from the Betzes. The Sheet Rishon is not a Talmud of the Ra'ah. Clearly it's a Tosofer in the Sheet Rishon, meant to quote the Ravid, who is the Rishon, who the Sheet Rishon always quotes in Sheet of Betzes. So it's only one Rishon who said this. The Ravid quoted in the Rashba, and quoted with the wrong name in the Sheet Rishon. Okay, the footnotes are correct. But what did the Ravid say, Taka? What was his question? His question was, what do you mean you can only be Chozer Bo Tochtei Dibur? Until when can you be Chozer Bo? Until when can you be Chozer Bo? What did the Gemara say? When can Eidim be Chozer Bo? Until what? Not until Gemara
Day. Finish testimony.
Until, what did the Gemara call it? Until what happened, until what happens to their Eidus? Until Nechra Eidusan. The Gemara says they can be Chozer Bo till after the Drisha V'Chakira. Why do we need Drisha V'Chakira? Anyone know why we need Drisha V'Chakira? Why do they need to question what's the time and place, etc.? So it's Eidus Shechol Azima, right? Meaning until it's a Kasher Eidus, right? An Eid can retract even after he finishes speaking. Even 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes after he finishes speaking. As long as his Eidus has not been miskabel yet, as long as Eidus is not a Kasher Eidus yet. So that's the question of the Ravid. The question of the Ravid is that you should be able to retract until your Eidus is Kasher. And Roy LeKabbalah. When does your Eidus become Kasher? When it's Yachol LaHazima. So here's the question. Hold on a second. When is your Eidus Yachol LaHazima? According to this stage in the Gemara, remember, we don't yet know the Hadar Amar Abayi Lav Milsi. I'll hold the cup a little. We don't know that there's Gzeres HaKasav Kasher Zaman that teaches you Eidus Zoman are killed without Hasra. We think you need Hasra for Eidus Zoman at this point, right? You need Hasra and give it to the Eidus. Hold on. Until you give Hasra, you can't punish them. So until you give Hasra, it's Eidus She'iyat Yachol LaHazima. And then it's not Eidus yet. So you should be able to give Hasra anytime you want. Because until you give Hasra, it's not Yochel Azima, so it's not a Kasher Eidus yet. So you should be able to retract forever until the Hasra, because it's not Eidus Sha'ata Yochel Lehazima until the Hasra. That's the Ravid's. That's the Ravid's question. The Ravid's question is, it's not in the Hav Mina where you need Hasra, you should be able to retract 5 minutes or an hour later. No, not Stam, but you should be able to retract until the Hasra, no matter how long it takes. So you should be able to give Hasra at any time. So why do you say Tochtei Dibur? You give Hasra an hour later. And they can still retract, because they hadn't given Eidus till you gave Hasra.
Something circular. They can't be Chozer. They can compassel their Eidus. So who said they can be Chozer before the Drisha V'Chakira? I mean, I don't know.
The Gemara says that they can be Chozer actually Nechra Eidusan. So you're right. The Ravid's making an assumption. What's the assumption? The Ravid says the Ravid there. Therefore, what says the Ravid? Says the Ravid himself in the Rashba, says the Ravid in Hachanami, they can retract forever until the Hasra. The Hasra doesn't need to be Tochtei Dibur. They can retract forever. Not just Tochtei Dibur. In this Havamina, Eidim can retract 3 days later if you haven't given them Hasra yet. Because until you give them Hasra, it's not a valid Eidus. So why does the Gemara mean? But Hasra needs to be Tochtei Dibur, so they don't forget the substance of the Eidos. The reason, it's not because you can only retract Tokhtei Dibur. You can retract until the Hasra, even if it takes an hour, even if it takes a year. The reason you have to go Hasra Tokhtei Dibur is because if you go Hasra a minute later, they might say, we forgot what we testified. Yeah, we accepted the Hasra. That's because we thought we said Reuben killed someone. We forgot that we said Shimon killed someone. So how can you blame us? Okay, so it's a little bit dachuk. It's certainly not what Rashi told us to assume, but the Ravid says, really they can retract in this Havamina? Lefia Havamina, they can zoom and tzrich and Hasra, you can retract forever. Oh, why do you need to go Hasra right away? So they don't forget the substance of their Eidos. Meaning, we're not worried that they're forgetting that it's usher to testify falsely. That will warn them. You should know it's usher to testify falsely. Now it's your last chance to retract. But they might forget exactly what they said, and therefore they can have an excuse and say, ah, we would have retracted if we had remembered what we said. Okay, that's a little bit dumb. Clearly, that's not the shot of Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi and Tosfos say, clearly, that they can only retract Toch Kedei Dibur. Right? They do not accept this Ravid Chiddush that you can retract forever. Ah, why don't they accept the Ravid Chiddush while you can retract forever? After all, it sounds reasonable.
We are saying now that every Eidos requires Hasra.
Right. Yes, that's the Havamina, right? In this stage of the Gemara. How do they answer the Ravid's question? Right? According to Rashi and Tosfos, how do you answer the Ravid's question? It's taka good question. Again, this is all, obviously, this Ravid's question is only Lefi HaHavamina the Eidim Zomimin Srifin Hasra. Right? Lamaskana, of course this is not relevant at all. Eidim Zomimin are punished without Hasra. Lefi the Hav, meaning you can't be mazin them until Hasra. So it's not Eidos Shiyachol Azima until Hasra. If it's not Eidos Shiyachol Azima, they should be able to retract. And the Ravid says, in a Chanami. Shas, you get Masra Tokhtei Dibur for a different reason. Rashi and Tosfos don't hold that way. Rashi's clear they can only retract Tokhtei Dibur. And Tosfos is clear they can only retract Tokhtei Dibur. Within Tokhtei Dibur they can, because you can always retract Tokhtei Dibur. Tokhtei Dibur of the Hasra.
Why would you say it has to be Tokhtei
Dibur from Hasra? Because there's a rule you can retract anything Tokhtei Dibur from when it's Chal. So it's only Chal v'shas Hasra. You can retract anything Tokhtei Dibur when it's Chal. That's a rule, that's a Klali rule.
And it doesn't have to do with when you said it. It has to do with when it's Chal.
Yeah, Pashtus.
Is this the Ravid's Chiddush? He's saying that's Ravid's Chiddush.
Well, but it's logical because Eidos Shiyachol Azima. So there are two ways that the Achronim answer this. Either you can deny the Ravid's Chiddush or safe and clever. The two ways that I have in the Achronim here are the Beis Yaakov, right, on Ksuvas. Who wrote the Beis Yaakov on Ksuvas? The Nesivas. Right? The Beis Yaakov on Ksuvas says that the assumption is wrong. He says, really? You can only retract? Kaven Shehigid doesn't mean Higid. Kaven Shehigid doesn't mean you can't retract after it was Mrs. Kabbal, it was Kashrus. It means you can't retract after you finish saying your Eidos. So then he just says that the assumption is wrong. Okay, I will say it again. The assumption is wrong. The assumption of the Ravid is wrong. The Ravid assumed you could retract as long as it's not kosher yet. He says no. He says once you said the Eidos, you can't retract even if it's not kosher Eidos yet. He just denied the assumption. You think you can retract until you give kosher Eidos? No. Once you testify and Tokhtei Dibur passes, you can't retract, even if it's not kosher yet. Oh, you can retract until Nechrei Dusan, until Drisha Barakira. Doesn't that prove that even when you finished your story, you can retract until they make it kosher? So here he just added one chiddush. He says, Drisha B'Hakira is not only to make it Yochel Azima. Let's review what Drisha B'Hakira means. The Gemara says there are Hakiros and there are Bedikos. Vedigos means random questions just to check you out and test how honest you look. You know, what color shirt was he wearing? What color sneakers was he wearing? You know, was it cloudy outside or was it sunny outside? Etc., etc. Kakiros are seven kakiros, which are basically two questions. What place was it and what time is it? What was the time and place? The Gemara says, there's a difference between bedikos, random questions, and kakiros, which is time and place. Bedikos, maybe you'll know, maybe you won't. They're not ma'akif. And what if you say, I don't know what color shirt he was wearing, I don't know what color sneakers he was wearing, I don't remember what the weather was that day? That's fine, we check you out, but it doesn't passel it if you don't know the answer to every question. If you saw Reuven kill Shimon, even if you don't remember the detail of everything we asked you about the crime scene, but say here, as long as you don't look particularly suspicious. But when it comes to Hakiros, if you don't know the time and place, your aegis is puzzle. If you don't know the time and place, it's puzzle. The Gemara in a few places implies that why is it puzzle if you don't know the time and place? Because Yatzi Yachal Azima. Without the time and place, you can't do Azama. The whole point of Azama is that time you're in a different place. If you didn't say what time it was, we can't do Azama. And if you didn't say what place it was, we can't do Azama. Because how can we know you're in a different place at that time if we don't know your time and place? So the standard Hanacha of the Achronim is that the reason for Hakiros, meaning the reason Hakiros are Ma'aki, the reason Hakiros are absolutely crucial, don't misunderstand me. I didn't say the only reason we ask you questions because we Yachal Azima. No, we ask questions because we're normal people if we're judged and we want to try and test you and see if you're going to trip up and see if you're suspicious. But that's just judges using their common sense. The reason Hakiros are absolutely necessary halachically for the Halos Egos, most people assume it's a Yachal Azima to allow Hazama. Says the Beis Yaakov, no. He says the reason Hakiros are necessary is not only for Yachal Azima. It's because if you don't tell us the time and the place, then you haven't told us the story yet. Reuven killed Shimon is not Eidos if it didn't happen in a place at a time. It's not a story yet. It's only Reuven lent Shimon $100. That's not Eidos. It's Eidos if you know when Reuven lent Shimon $100 and where Reuven lent Shimon $100. Meaning the Hakiros are not just a T'nai of Yachal Azima. The Hakiros are part of the Guf HaEidos, which makes common sense to us. If I tell you a story, it needs a time and place, right? Even fairy tales, where do they all start? Right? A long, long time ago in a faraway kingdom. Okay, I mean, they're fairy tales, so that's why they don't have to give the exact time and place. But what does that show? That a story needs a time and place. Even a non-true story needs a non-true time and place. A long, long time ago in a kingdom far away.
What about a
star? What?
A star doesn't need a time and place.
That is a fascinating question. Does a star need a time and place? You're assuming a star doesn't need a time and place. What? You're assuming a star doesn't need a time and place. It's not so poshut. First of all, when we write stars, we always write the time and place. Oh, we know that. It's not so poshut that, for example, the Sugya of Tiknu's man, etc. But that might be because shtaros are not about Malkus and Misa. Shtaros are generally about Mamon, or maybe things that are dumber than Mamon. And in Mamon, Chazal said you don't need Drisha v'Hakira anymore. Right? So Chazal relaxed Drisha v'Hakira for Dine Mamonos. But if you had a shtar about Chiyuv Misa, which I know there's no such case. So that's a great question. You're assuming b'ikaron a shtar doesn't need time and place, and therefore you're questioning me. And what I'm answering you is that the easiest answer is that shtars are about mamon, and I know some of them are at marriage, but dover dover mi mamon, that's also mamon, right? And mamon mi drabbana doesn't need drisha v'hakira. They say the rabbana made a takana and said mamonus doesn't need drisha v'hakira. So therefore, you could say that's a special takana drabbana, or certainly if all shtars are takana drabbana, which I know you were not, which you were Barami's too. So anyway, that's one. The assumption is, and what does he have to add? He has to add, his chiddush is that Hakiros are Guf HaEidos, not a T'nai. All the Achronim asked this question, and the Rishonim even asked this question because they assume Hakiros were T'nai of Yachal Azima. That shows, until it's Yachal Azima, you can retract. No, Hakiros are not, they're also a T'nai. Hakiros are Guf HaEidos, that's the story. Otherwise, it's not a story. It's not a story if I don't tell you the time and place. A story needs a time and place. Therefore, the gufa egus. Until you say the gufa egus, you can retract. But once you said the gufa egus, even if it's not kosher yet, it's too late to retract. That's the base Yaakov. Rabbi Akiva Eger has a clever answer to this question. He says, hold on a second. Remember, his answer is so clever that... he says, hold on a second. He only has to make one chiddush, not a chiddush at all. He says very pashut. He says, don't think about the general issue of edus. Think about the specific case we're discussing here. Once he says that, the whole problem is solved. What's the specific case we're discussing here? Now, all of us will say, by now, who remembers what specific case we're discussing here? We started out with something that had to do with Ksubas, we're not sure how. We got into Eidos, now we're harving in the nature of Eidos and the nature of Hazam and all kinds of Logos, and who knows how we got here. But if you trace our breadcrumbs back, right, how did we get here from Ilu Naros? We got here from the Sugya of Kamalid Rabmine. And what are we essentially discussing? We're essentially discussing the issue of Loka and Mishali, right? Do you get Malkus or do you get Mamon? So what are we talking about? We're talking about Eidos of Dine Mamonos. And then the question is, do I pay Mamon for Kasher Zaman or do I get Malkus for Losanda Briacha Eid Shaker or for, to use our Gemara's, for Vahaya Minhakus or Russia? We're talking about monetary Eidos. That's the context of our sugya. In monetary Eidos, how do we know whether to pay Mamon for Kasher Zaman or get Malkus for Vahaya Minhakus or Russia? Hold on. In monetary Eidos, the punishment of Azama is Mamon. What makes it Yochel Azima? What do you not need in order to be punished with money? You don't need Asra to be punished with money. So says Rabbi Akiva Eger, he says, no. We're dealing with, I know the Gemara sounded very general here. It sounds like we're in general exploring Eidos. But he says, who says we're talking in general? Maybe we're talking about the topic. The topic is monetary Eidos. We're dealing with Eidos Mamon. And therefore he says, Eidos Mamon is Yachol Lehazima without Hasra. Because you don't need Hasra for Mamon. You only need Hasra for Malkus and Misa. You don't need Hasra for Mamon. If someone yells, they pay Kefa without Hasra, pay Dalad Behe without Hasra. You don't need Hasra to pay money. Hasra's only didn't own a shakuf. And therefore, he says, very posh, it was never a question in the first place. Eidos Mamon is Yochel Azim without Hasra. And therefore, it's obvious that you can't retract after Tochli Dibur, because it's Yochel Azim right away, even without Hasra. And the whole Hanach of the Raivad was wrong. Not that the Raivad was wrong. The Raivad was discussing general Eidos. And Rabbi Akiva just points out, the Raivad might be right about Eidos of Dine Nefashos and Eidos of Dine Malkus. But he just says, what gives the Raivad the right to ask general questions, not a specific sugya? Our sugya is talking about monetary Eidos. Monetary Eidos is Yochel Azima Miyad, because you can always punish someone with money, you don't have to warn them. And therefore, it's kosher even without Hasra. And that answers the Raivad's question. Remember, the Raivad's question was, you can retract till Hasra, because it's not kosher yet. It's not Yochel Azima. The answer is not Dine Mamonos. In Mamonos, it's Yochel Azima Miyad. And that's why you can only retract within Tok Dei Dibur. And that's how he justifies Rashi and Tosos. So there are two ways to justify Rashi and Tosos against the Raivad. Okay, now. Here's where it gets tricky. He says, you're right, we're dealing with Malkus a moment here, right? But keep in mind, the Malkus is for Vehitzdikwes Atzadik. The Mamon is the Kasher Zaman. The Malkus is for Vahayam Ben Hakus HaRasha. And only you're right, we're dealing with Malkus a moment, but only the Mamon is Hazama. The Malkus is Eidos Sheker. Remember that Chakira we had. Right? So therefore, it's Yochel Azim as long as you pay Mamon. Because the Mamon is Kasher Zaman.
Wouldn't it be necessary?
It's really brilliant work here. Tremendous hot. He really pulls out the rug from under the right.
I don't know if he pulled out the rug because it's only in Rabbanon that he's
no! Who's that? We're not talking about. I'm not talking about Rishva Hakira.
Eidos Mamon needs Midoraisa, it needs Rishva Hakira.
It needs Rishva Hakira, but it doesn't need Hasra. Here we're dealing with Hasra. You're mixing up the tangent we said 10 minutes ago with what we're discussing now. Okay, now, that's one interesting aspect of the sugya. The even more interesting aspect of the sugya is whether Rashi is right in the first place, because Rashi makes an assumption. What is Rashi's assumption? Rashi's assumption is that, why can't you give asra afterwards? Because it's, you lost your bechira, it's too late to retract. But, what the assumption seems to be, what is Rashi's assumption? That be'ikaron hasra can be after the Avera. Be'ikaron hasra can be after the Avera. That's Rashi's assumption. Be'ikaron hasra can be after the Avera. That is exactly what all the Rishonim or most of the Achronim have a problem with. Right? Well, that seems to be his assumption, let me say better. What's the problem they have? The problem they have is this. From Rashi and Makos. What does Rashi and Makos say? To be succinct, he says, you can't give Hasra after the Avera, even if you could still retract. What does Rashi say? What does Rashi say there? That it's too late to give Hasra after the Avera, even if you can still retract the Avera. What's the case where you can still retract the Avera? I know, I talked about Kinyanim where you can be chosen, but that's not Rashi's two examples. What are his two examples? His examples are, right, more generally, his examples are, number one, when they go bitlo velo bitlo. Okay, that's a very complicated sugya there. If anyone mentioned Rishonim there, mentioned the Ritva quoting the Ramban, and that was exceedingly complicated. Even if you follow Rashi in the sugya, all the Rashi is exceedingly complicated. Let me just explain what that sugya is discussing. That sugya is discussing lav hanita klase, a lav that's fixed by an ase. The Gemara says there, you don't get malchus. Well, it's not that you don't get malchus on a lav hanita klase. You can get malchus on a lav with an ase, but the ase saves you for the malchus. Like the ase fixes it instead of malchus. But theoretically, you could get malchus. How could you theoretically get malchus? That's a machlokes from the Yochanan Rish Lakish called bitlo v'lo bitlo and kimo v'lo kimo. One Manda Amr says that bitlo v'lo bitlo. I think that's Rabbi Yochanan according to Rashi's Girsa, but I make balbel sometimes because it's a matter of Girsas there. That it depends. As long as you could do the assay, you don't get malchus. Only when you're mevatel the assay, when you eliminate the assay, you get malchus. So, for example, if we assume, let's push an assumption, that was the example, gzeila, there's an assay, the heshem is a gzeila. Again, I'm making a couple assumptions here, but they're not important for now. Then bitlo vel bitlo says, when I steal, I don't get malchus. Well, no, that's going to be a tricky one, because even if I'm vatel the assay, I still pay. Let's give a better example. When I do take the mother with the baby birds, there's an assay to send away the mother bird afterwards. I don't know, the pasuk shot in the pasuk is that you send away the mother bird before and never take her, right? That's what the pasuk means. Send away the mother bird and only take the babies. But we darshan that it also means if you did take the mother and the babies, and you violated the law, you should send the mother away afterwards and at least fix it part, and at least fix it. So, bitlo v'lo bitlo means as long as I could send away the mother bird, I don't get malchus. When do I get malchus? If I shech the mother bird, now it's too late to send her away, then I get malchus. The other manner is kimo v'lo kimo. Now, the Vendor Mekayim the essay. Meaning, I get malchus right away. If I want to avoid the malchus, I better go send away the mother bird right away. So the focus is, do I initially not get malchus until I eliminate the possibility of fixing it? Or I initially do get malchus unless I actually fix it and save myself. Okay, so do I have to be kind of the essay to get out of malchus, or I just have to have the possibility, not being mevatel the essay to get out of malchus? So Rashi says there that, and the Gemara says, this is the matter of the Girsas, in one of those shitas, hasra is always going to be hasra suffic. The difference in the Girsas is which of those shitas? How do you map the real and Rish Lakish there? So, let's stick with Rashi's Girsa. We're talking about Rashi, right? And the Achronim point out that according to everyone's Girsa, it ends up the same. It just gets more complicated. What does Rashi say? Rashi says that, Rashi says that if you hold bitlo v'lo bitlo, you can't have hasras vaday. Why? Because what does Rashi say? Let's see what Rashi says in Makos Tetzvav. He says, leman da amar bitlo v'lo bitlo, meaning if you're mevatel, so you get malchus. If you still have potential, you don't get malchus. Then it's hasras safik. And therefore, that mandamar has to hold Asra Safik Shema Asra, because we know that you can get Malkus. Why? Why is an Asra Safik? Why is an Asra Svadai? So what does he say? Because there are two moments. What does Rashi explain? Because Bishas Lekicha Lo Sikach Ema Banim Havi Asra Safik. When you take the mother bird with the babies, it's Asra Safik, because we don't know if you're going to end up keeping the assay, fulfilling the assay, or being about to the assay. So, the rest is clever. Hold on. Just give Asra when you check the mother bird. When you kill the mother, give Asra that now you're being about to the assay, you get Malkus. What does Rashi say? Bishas bitol ha'assay. It's too late for Hasra. It's too late for Asra at the time of bitol assay. It's too late. After all, it's after the Aveira. What do we see? You can still fix the Aveira. It's not too late to fix the Aveira. But once the Aveira is done, what do we see? Hasra needs to be at the time of the Aveira, not at the time when you can retract the Aveira. It needs to be at the time you do the Aveira, not at the time you fail to undo the Aveira. That's where he says, so even if you can still retract the Aveira, meaning Inan Hasra Bishas Ha'aveira, not Bishas E Tikkun Ha'aveira. You can't give Hasra when you fail to undo your Aveira. You have to give Hasra at the time of the Aveira itself. What are his examples? Examples is Shas Bitol Asay. Rashi says, it's too late for Hasra. And how did he know? They bring a raya from Gemara. What if I say, I won't eat cake today if I eat tomorrow? And I eat cake today. So the Gemara says, in force, that's Asra Safek. When I eat cake today, how can you give me Asra? You don't know if I'll eat cake tomorrow or not. You don't know if the Shua was Chav.
You can't put that in Asra. If you eat cake today, you don't eat cake.
You can, but that's called Asra Safek. Oh, that's called Asra Safek. So Rashi says, why don't you just give Asra tomorrow when he eats cake? Now he's violating Shua. He says, oh, it's too late. Tomorrow is not when he's doing the Aveira, just when he's fulfilling the condition. So clearly, he has not violated Shua until tomorrow when he fulfills the Tanai. But you can't give Asra. Oh, that's when you're really making it an Aveira. Doesn't matter when you make it an Aveira. It matters when you actually do the Maisa Isser. So this is what he says, Shas Kiyom HaTanai Shegoreim La'aveira Shvua Lemafreya. Right? I do it tonight, and retroactively that means I broke a Shvua. Rashi says, no. The Gemara says, it's too late. No. It's too late. When I just do it tonight and retroactively make myself have done an Aveira, you can't give Asra. Asra needs to be Bishas Aveira. Not Bishas retroactively making it an Aveira. So now the Kasha Rashi is obvious. If Hasra needs to be B'Shas Aveira, if you need Hasra B'Shas Aveira, not B'Shah when you refuse to fix your Aveira. Right? Now, we were warning you. Don't eat cake. If you eat cake, then yesterday you will have violated Shavuot, it'll be an Aveira. Just put the cake away and don't do the Aveira. That doesn't count as Hasra, because it's too late. It's after the Aveira. If in Yisra, don't kill the mother bird. Then you'll be liable for the lav you did yesterday. No, that's not Hasra. Hasra has to be b'shaito. So then the obvious question becomes, why does Rashi here say Hasra can be afterwards? Why does Rashi here say Hasra can be afterwards? So, some...
This is different from...
Aha, okay. But why?
Well, first of all, you don't need a matana maisa.
Okay. But nonetheless... What? No, let's say you did have Drisha Chakira. That's the same assumption you were making before, which I'm denying. You did have Drisha Chakira. Let's say he did have Drisha Bechakira. So, because of this question, the Achronim, some of say, because of this question, they say maybe you could have, what's the answer? There are three answers. I'm sure there's 100 answers. There's always more answers that you're not clever enough to think of. There's three answers that I know. Right, how do I know the three answers? Well, there's another sheet in Rishonim, and then Rishonim Shkat brings down two.
Of course. All right, that I should know.
Yeah, Rosh
Hashanah.
Yes, Rosh Hashanah. Okay. So one answer is, it's not really going to help. Let's reject Rashi here and interpret our Gemara like the, I think it was a Shita Yishana, if I'm not mistaken. Was it a Shita Yishana? Yeah. Like the Shita Yishana. Shita Yishana, by the way, it's probably clear to all of us now, at least subconsciously, but in the days of the Rishonim, what did they used to call a book of Chidushim on Shas? A Shita. That's what Shita means. Shita doesn't mean an opinion, like in modern day yeshivish terminology. Shita in the days of the Rishonim meant Chidushim on Shas. And that's why it's called the Shita Mekubetzes, because it collects all the different books of Chidushim on Shas. And Shita Yishana doesn't mean an old opinion. Shita Yishana means he found an old commentary on Shas, and it was very old, but he didn't know who wrote it, so that's why he called it the Shita Yishana. That's just what Shita used to mean. That's why some might say Shita L'Ran Al Masechah Shabbos. It means Chidushim, what we call Chidushim, what we call Chidushim Al Masechet, they used to call Shita. That's just the word.
Shita meant like a line of opinion, that all hold one kind of, all hold one general opinion.
No, because they call in ancient manuscripts they call like a chidush on a whole masecha shita, unless it's all following one opinion. Okay. Anyway, you're fine.
You're going stuck.
Okay. Anyway, now obviously this is not an answer to the Steer and Rashi, right? This, of course, doesn't help for the Steer and Rashi. Right, if there's a Steer and Rashi, you can't say, let's take a different shot. But the Achronim say, maybe Rashi's wrong. Talking to the Steer and Rashi, Rashi's wrong. Let's take the Shita Yishana. What does the Shita Yishana say? Let's just see what he says. The Shita Yishana has a different shot in our Gemara. What did Rav originally mean when he says you can't give Asra afterwards because my Dahava Hava says the Shita Yishana? Maybe I'll even read the Lashon now that I brought back the Kobos Mepharshim.
You have to say, I agree with it.
The, says the Shita Yishana, 1 second, sorry, Lama Gimel. Here we are. Ma'idah Havahava, Pirish Rashi, Kedish Ahimish Shabbat Nechozer Magid, Ben Yechol Ma'asar, that's Rashi. Says the Shita Yishana, Shita Yishana Kasub, Nasri Lusof, Ma'idah Havahava, Pirish Afilu Shaskil Lusof, Kedish Yaswem, Enas Ramo Elas Al Masha Naseh. You can't give Asra when they already did it. Then he has a technical question. Well, why don't we just get them to say it again? The answer is because they won't say it again because Parshim lo masad. But what's his etim shot? Because, let me read those words again. Ein Asra mo'eles al masha naseh. Ein Asra mo'eles al masha naseh. Meaning, he just takes Rashi and Makos and says, who cares if they can retract or not? You can't give Asra later. You have to give Asra b'shas aveira. That's what we know from Makos. And the Achronim point out, even if it's not just Rashi and Makos, Rashi is a raya from Shavuos. Everyone agrees. So they only argue about details in Makos. Now we just have to explain a bayi. Yes, Yaakov.
If you learn Rashi like the Beis Yaakov, that he's just coming off the Rei the Rei of Kasha, then could you say that Iker in terms of this question, he's really also in like Shita Yishana, that's not a Steer and Rashi?
No, because, and I think no, because Rashi's, but why does Rashi have to say in Dirath Maida Hava Hava, why does Rashi have to say the Kevin Jacob should be in Chozer Magid?
He's addressing the Rise's question. Because otherwise it wouldn't be no longer Shasa because it's because of the Rise's whole
pleasure. Okay, hold that thought. Okay? Hold that thought. You'll tell me in 5 minutes whether I've adequately addressed what you just said. Okay? I hope the answer will be yes. Now, we just don't know. What does the Abaye mean according to Shiti Shana? If there's an Ikaron based on Makos, right? This is meaning, right? Be Ikaron, be Inan, Hasra, be Shasan, maybe. Okay, then it makes perfect sense. But then what's Rabba saying? What's Abaye saying? Sorry. Vinashi would talk to the Adibur, it's still afterwards. So, the Shita Yishana doesn't carry through here. The Shita, the Tokhti Dibur, he doesn't explicitly tell us the answer, but the Dibur Yecheskel does try to answer with the Shita Yishana. Dibur Yecheskel says, well, maybe we have to say, not like Rashi here. Dibur Yecheskel answers that Tok de Dibur counts as simultaneous, not afterwards. He says that's the magic of Tok de Dibur. Tok de Dibur is not afterwards. Tok de Dibur at the same time. Now this is a hakir in Tok de Dibur, right? Everyone knows you can retract Tok de Dibur in Dine Mamanus and Eid does everything you can retract Tok de Dibur. Except for four exceptions, which we won't get into now. Right? Megadeth, Mazar, Gid, and Kedushin, which may be Takanas. Right, you could, why can you retract Tok de Dibur? So some Rishonim write, because everyone's das is that they want to think about it at least a little and retract Tok de Dibur. Or Rabbeinu Tam says, because it's Midrash Rabbanan, everyone should be able to say hello to people, so therefore you say hello and then still be able to retract, so we wouldn't make a disincentive to greeting people. But what the Dibur Yecheskel says is no. Tok de Dibur is not as chus chazara. Tok de Dibur, you know why you can be chuzer Tok de Dibur? Because you haven't said anything yet. Tok de Dibur counts at the same time. Tok de Dibur counts as not acharka. Tok de Dibur is still the same time. I know, not on the clock. But how luckily Tok de Dibur is still the same time. So of course you can retract. Because you're retracting at the same time you're saying it. And of course you can bottle what you're saying at the same time. If at the time I would say, you know, I want to sell something, but I don't. Then, or I want, but I don't want to sell it. Of course I can retract it at the same time. What's his raya? His raya is the famous Gemara in Darm Daf Pei. What's the famous Gemara in Darm Daf Tok de Dibur? Exactly. It's a strange case. A guy heard a rumor that his father died. So he tore Kriya. Then they told him, no, it was his mother. So he's not Yotzik. They didn't have Kavanah for the right person. The Gemara says, but if Tok de Dibur, they told him it was his mother, he's Yotzik. Meaning, if a guy's Yotzik Kriya, if he knows who died, Tok de Dibur. Why?
Even though he did the Kriya before.
He did the Kriya before, he doesn't have to do Kriya again. He does Kriya. If within Tok de Dibur, he finds out who died, he's Yotzik. Why? That's not like retracting something, it's the Kriya. Either the Kriya was kosher or not. So says Dibur Yecheskel, no, because Tok de Dibur counts as the same time. If someone tore Kriya and a second later found out who died, then he knew who died at the same time as the Kriya. That counts at the same time. So says Dibur Yecheskel, Tok de Dibur counts at the same time. That's a chiddush in Tok de Dibur, a longish chiddush in Tok de Dibur. It's a matter of measuring time. Tok de Dibur counts at the same time.
It's before the Kriya. They told him before the Kriya. They changed. They said.
Yes, they told him. They told him it was his father. Then he tore. Then they told him his mother. But if they told him his mother, they Tok de Dibur. It's as if he knew during the Kriya. The father. They told him father. He tore Kriya. Then they told him the mother. They told him about Tok de Dibur. It counts as if when he did the Kriya, he knew it was his mother.
It changes the kavana that he had already.
Correct, but not with Afreya. With Afreya means it changed something beforehand. No, it changed it simultaneously because it didn't happen beforehand. It's still happening. That's the chiddush. It's still happening. It's as if he's in the middle of the Kriya. That's a big chiddush. Right? What are we saying here? This is a chiddush in Tok de Dibur. I'm not claiming everyone agrees with him. But he would claim the Shita Yishana agrees with him. I'm saying there, everyone does. Fine. I didn't say. I'm not. Now. That's the Shita Yishana. So now we have two radically different ways of reading our Gemara. What's the Shakta Vatarya in our Gemara about afterwards? Is the Shakta Vatarya that, of course you can do Hasra afterwards. We just want to know how long you can retract. So first we say you can't retract, and then we say, Taki, you can retract a little. Or no, You need Asra b'shas ma'isa. So first we say afterwards not b'shas ma'isa, and then we point out, no, a little bit afterwards is still b'shas ma'isa, because the magic of Tobin Deibra that counts as shas ma'isa. Okay, none of this helps for Rashi. Rashi doesn't sound like Shid Yushana. Then he wouldn't be bringing Chemin Shehigah Shuvah in Chozer Maggit. So, I mean, not so much, but how do you answer for Rashi? So, the Rav Shimon Shkaf quotes two answers for Rashi. The first, I hope, is what Yaakov was trying to say. He quotes the Amud Eor, but if you look here in the stipler, he sweetens it up a little. Rav Shimon Shkaf quotes the Amud Eor. These pshatim are for Rashi himself.
Who's the Amud Eor?
Not sure. Okay. Have to ask for every Wikipedia. He quotes the Amud Eor that he says, no, there's a big difference between the case in Makos and our case. The case in Makos is, really, you finish the Aveira, and then later there was something else, like a Tanai, or like a Bittul Aseh. Over here, now here it gets a little tricky. He's not saying Dibri Cheskel, that it's still the same time. That would be. What he says here is that, Amud Eor says, in our case, the Iker Avera itself is not retracting Toch Kidei Dibur. The Avera of Losana is not primarily what you said. It's that you didn't retract Toch Kidei Dibur. And therefore, once you grant him that assumption, it's fine. And therefore, you have Hasra'a Bishas Maisa. That's the Amud Eor. Now, this is a big chiddush, meaning it's a little counterintuitive. What does he say? He says, you're not getting punished for lying. You're getting punished for not retracting Toch Kidei Dibur. That's a little tricky. That's a little tricky. The Stipler tries to explain what he means thus, and says, maybe it could be that what he means is that the Aveira, he just tries to sweeten it up a little. He says, the Iker Aveira is not what you said. The Iker Aveira is that you caused your Eidus to be miskabel b'desdin. Is causing Eidus Sheker to be miskabel b'desdin. Since it's not, the Aveira is not talking. You can talk all you want. The Aveira is giving Eidus, right? Now, I'm not saying it's okay to lie. Maybe it's a violation of the Aseiv, the Bar Sheker, Terechav. Maybe sometimes it could be Lashon Hara. But it's like, mitzad, what we're talking about, talking falsely about someone is not, I mean, maybe it's a different Aveira, but it's not this Aveira, right? It's not Losan Riachei Chaker. It's giving Eidos, that's the Aveira. What does Eidos mean? Eidos means when Bezdin is Mekabel, you're Eidos. Until then, it's not Eidos. Until then, it's Dibur B'Yamla. It only becomes Eidos when Bezdin is Mekabel. Bezdin is only Mekabel after Toch Kidei Dibur when you can't retract anymore. So it only becomes Eidos when you don't retract to Toch Kidei Dibur. Because until then, it's not Eidos. Why not? It's not like other things. Meaning, if I sell you something, I've sold it right away. I don't have to wait Toch Kidei Dibur. Because it doesn't depend on someone else being mekabel it. But when I am made in Bezdin, it's not Eidos till Bezdin accepts it, and Bezdin doesn't accept it till they check if I retract. And therefore, that's what the Kilos Yaakov adds. The Kilos Yaakov explains, because it becomes Eidos when Bezdin is mekabel it. Until then, it's not Eidos, it's just Dibur, is Makabalit. That's what I wrote here, even though it's not readable, legible. And Bezdin is not Makabalit until they check to see if I retract. Because why would Bezdin be, how could Bezdin be Makabal Eidos when they don't know if I'm going to retract yet? That's his Chiddush. It's a bit of a, it's a Chiddush, clearly. That's his Chiddush. The Etzem Aveira is getting to be a Haloshet Eidos in Bezdin. And that only happens after Toch Kidei Dibur. Therefore, that Surah is Bishas Aveira.
That's exact same logic we're going when you make a shvua that I'm not going to eat it tomorrow, eat it. I mean, that's parallel. It shouldn't happen until you eat tomorrow, because until then it's just Dibur Ba'omla.
That's an interesting question. It could be that the shvua might not be chal till I eat tomorrow, but the Aveira is not the shvua being chal. The Aveira is breaking the shvua. And I still broke the shvua yesterday. But you're right, it's subtle. Meaning, what he would say is that in the case of the Shvua, no, the Maisa is eating. I swore not to eat. I know at the time I did the Maisa, the Shvua wasn't Chal. We didn't know if the Shvua was Chal or not. But once the Shvua is Chal, Igloy Milsloa Freya, that the Avera I did yesterday. Okay, I recognize I haven't convinced you. That's the, because I have to formulate it more subtly. And more exactly, more precisely, rather. But that's the Amudei Or.
Did you say it's the Gemara Avera? The Avera is the Tali? Like, it has sometimes a mitzvah mit Mashechet. So the Avera mit Mashechet starts...
Correct. You can even say it's the Avera mit Mashechet, as opposed to the case of Shvua, where it's not an Avera mit Mashechet, which, again, I know is not the most popular thing in the world to say, but the Amudei Or obviously thinks so. That's an Avera yesterday, and just the background is filled in tomorrow. That's the Amudei Or. Rav Shimon Shkop comes from tremendous chidushim and gives a third answer. The third answer is Rav Shimon Shkop, or as they call him, Rav Shimon, right? He says a tremendous chiddush. What's his wild chiddush? His wild chiddush is based on the following chakira. Let's see if we can find room for the following chakira. Why do you need Hasra? You need Hasra to make sure the guy is a mason, right? Because you can't punish someone with shogeg, right? I mean, there are lots of yidden out there, right, who don't know the halacha, right? Ma'isim mecholyom. There are people who don't know anything about halacha, and they do things that are wrong, and I'm not saying it's okay, but it's certainly not punishable by Bez Din because they didn't know that it was wrong. They were shogeg. Now, they were shogun. Now, that's what Rav Yossi says, right? What does Rav Yossi say? Rav Yossi says, "Lo hasra l'hapim shogun l'mezid." What does Rav Yossi say? A Talmud Chacham doesn't need hasra. Talmud Chacham doesn't need hasra. Talmud Chacham knows what's wrong. Only an Am HaEretz needs hasra. Talmud Chacham doesn't need hasra. He knows what's right and wrong. What does he say? If the guy looks like he doesn't know, he needs hasra. If the guy looks like he knows, then he doesn't need hasra. He knows. Do we pass like Rav Yossi? It's actually Rav Yossi reviewed, I think. No, we pass in even a Talmud Chacham needs hasra. Even if he knows Kol Tarkula, Filo Hacham, Filo Zakenim, Filo Yodin's Kol Tarkula, needs hasra when he eats a slice of ham to give him malchus. Why? Why does this fellow need hasra? Now this is a big machlokas. Why do you need to give someone hasra even though you know they're amazing already? So, we don't have room on the board for this whole chakira yet. But, so we'll just put Rav Shimon's answer. Rav Shimon's answer is, why do you need to give someone hasra if you know they're amazed? Why do you need to give someone hasra if you know they're amazed? So Rav Shimon answers. What does Rav Shimon answer? I don't know if anyone got a chance to look at it. No, that's not what Rav Shimon answers. That's what lots of other people answer. That's great. Then Rav Shimon wouldn't be a chiddush, right? You open up the page of the Rambam, and every single person in the small print says that. Rav Shimon's chiddush is that there's a drasha in the Gemara. The drasha in the Gemara is that I'll read you a brisa in Maseches Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Amud Beis. I hope it will still be there. Says Rav Shimon, Hisri Simbo, you check. Did you give him Asra? You asked the Yidim, Kibel of Asra? Did he accept Asra? Heter Atzmo Lumisa? Did he abandon himself? Did he permit himself to be killed? What does that mean? It's not even enough to give Asra. He needs to be Makabel Asra. He needs to acknowledge that he heard the Asra. Okay, that's not so crazy, because maybe the guy's hard of hearing, he didn't hear the Asra. What good does it do? Right? There are lots of people in the world who are hard of hearing, especially in the old days before they met the hearing aids. So, says no. And besides that, maybe it's a crowded street with noise. Heter atzmo lemisa. It's not even enough that he acknowledges he heard the Asra. He has to say, al menas kenani osa, I know you're going to kill me, and I'm doing it anyway. Heter atzmo lemisa. So now, what's pshat this heter atzmo lemisa? Says Rav Shimon. Here's Rav Shimon's chiddush. Says Rav Shimon. He says, you know why you need hasra, even though the guy's amazed? Why does a chaver need hasra? Right? Why chaver means sabal chacham, right? Why does a chaver need hasra? After all, he's a mezid, right? He knows the halacha. And obviously we're talking about a case where it's obvious what he's doing is wrong. You know, if the chaver's eating something with an OU and it's mistakenly ham, then obviously everyone, even Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, says the chaver needs hasra if he doesn't know the fact. We're talking about where everything's obvious. The facts are obvious. It looks like a slice of ham. He got it from a store that says pork in big letters. You know, he's a healthy fellow. He has nothing wrong with
him.
Yeah, he's a healthy fellow. There's nothing wrong with him. He fully knows what the halacha has to say about eating ham. You know, he has no disability whatsoever. And that's the case where Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says, you can mount the Nesra, Pashat. And the Chachamim say, nope, he needs Hasra. Why does he need Hasra? He's obviously amazing. He's obviously amazing. Why does he need Hasra? So answers Rav Shimon. Answers Rav Shimon, not the Talmud of Rav Shimon, the Talmud of Rav Chaim, who went on to found the Tells Derech, Rav Shimon. Answers Rav Shimon Shkav, because there's a different rule. Besides Mazid, there's a different rule. He says, besides Mazid, there's a different Tanai of Heter Atzmo Lemisa. He has to accept the punishment. Then, even if he's a chaver, he has to be willing to accept the punishment. He has to agree to the punishment. Now, this sounds peculiar to us. The guy has to agree to the punishment? It sounds like, I mean, the Republicans would not be happy. Even the Southern Democrats would not be happy. Wait, you can't punish a criminal unless he agrees to the punishment? Okay, Rav Shimon says, yes! That's what it says in the Torah. It says in the Torah you can't punish someone unless he agrees to the punishment. Heter atzmo lemisa. And that's why, of course, even if he's a Talmud Chacham and he knows what he's doing is wrong, you still can't kill him with a hasra because you need heter atzmo lemisa. He needs to agree to the punishment. And according to Rashi, and okay, we're within Rashi here, and then we've shown him that it's for Malchus also. He needs to agree to the punishment of Malchus.
Does he have to agree to it, or he has to know that it is the punishment?
He doesn't have to be happy about it, but he has to say, Almanas Kenani Ose. I'm doing it. Obviously, Almanas doesn't mean I'm doing it in order to get Misa. He doesn't have to be suicidal.
Knowing
it means I'm doing it knowing that I'll get Misa and accepting the result. I'm accepting the result. I'm willing to pay the price. Basically, you tell the guy, you know what you're doing, you're about to, let's make a nice colorful case, right? You're about to worship Avodah Zarah. You know that this is Avodah Zarah. The Torah says you get skila for worshiping Avodah Zarah. You know that we're going to bring you to bed and kill you. So Amanaskinus says, I am so dedicated to this Avodah Zarah. I love Zeus or Mercury so much that I'm happy to sacrifice my life in Bezdin for a Kiddush Hashem of Mercury or Zeus or whenever Shkosi was worshiping. Or maybe a more, you don't have to go back to ancient pagans, whatever. A very simple case. You know, I don't know, some guy, who knows, some guy really annoyed me. Some guy did something terrible. I want to kill him. Two Adam say, you should know you're not allowed to kill. You should know you're chayev Herod for killing. You should know we're going to bring you to Bezdin and kill you. And what do you say? I'm asking you yourself. It's worth it. Thomas Nafshi and Plishtim. I don't care what you do to me as long as I get that guy. I don't care what happens. I'm not scared of Yosef. So why? So Shimon says, because the din in the Torah, a chiddush din in the Torah, that you can't kill someone unless he accepts the punishment, unless he accepts that you're going to kill him. Therefore, okay, that explains why a chaver needs hasra, because you need heter atzmo lemisa. Says Rav Shimon now, he just has to add one little point. Says Rav Shimon, he says, hold on a second. There are now tzvei dinim floating around here. Number one, the guy needs to be mazed. Number two, he needs to accept the punishment. Right? Obviously, whoever accepts the punishment is also mazed. But now he says very, very simple. He says, here is Rashi Makos, and here is, according to Rav Shimon, Rashi in Ksuvas. What is the answer?
If I get a hetkolisis, you get that from a Gemara.
The Gemara says he drops Holomisa.
He's saying that.
His Kiddush is just that that's a separate din from Mazin. That's his Kiddush. That's a separate din. What does Rav Shimon say? Rav Shimon now says very poshut. He says, what needs to be B'shas HaAveira? B'shas HaAveira, you need to be Mazin. Right? You need to be Mazin when you do the Aveira. That's poshut. Mazin, you do B'shas HaAveira. If you didn't, you're Meshuggah, and then you're exempt. Mazin, he says, the din of Mazin, the Hasra midin Mazin, needs to be B'shas HaAveira. That's what Rashi's talking about. You know what Rashi's talking about in Makos? He's talking about Mazin. The guy doesn't know if you're allowed to do, take the mother bird or not. He doesn't know if you're allowed to set the sin of the mother bird or not. Not everyone is a bucky in the halachas of mother birds. Right? The guy doesn't know. If he has a, you see, he didn't learn Chumash so well. He doesn't know about the mother bird. And even if he did learn Chumash so well, maybe he doesn't know what kind of bird to apply and what circumstances it apply. You know, if you're not a Talmud Chacham, I bet a lot of people in this room don't know all the halachas of Shiloh and Tani. Right? Okay. So, okay. That's talking about being amazed. The case of the Shrua, what are we talking about? About being amazed. How do you know the guy remembers that he swore about this? Don't some people sometimes forget what they swore about? Aren't there forgetful people? Especially if people swore when they're angry, whatever, they get confused. How do you know talk to the guy's amazed? How do you know the guy really knows that you have to keep your Shruas? Okay. So that's talking about being amazed. To be amazed, you need to be amazed b'shas haveira. You can't be amazed later. Being amazed later doesn't get you punished. You need to be amazed when you do the haveira. It's not enough to be amazed later. However, he says, hasra midin hiter atzmo lemisa. The fact that he needs to accept the punishment, he doesn't have to do that when he's doing the haveira. He can do that afterwards as long as he's still a somachim chavshis in the matter, as long as he's still filling in the requirements, filling in the conditions. Hasrami din ahitrat lomita can be afterwards, as long as he's still involved in the parsha. So now he just has one thing. That's not so crazy. Once he says tzveidinim, but it's three steps. First he says tzveidinim. There's tzveidinim and asra. There's being amazed, which everyone knows. You don't need the Torah, you don't need Judaism to tell you. You shouldn't punish someone unless they did it on purpose, and you should warn them to see if they did it on purpose. But what about for the Talmud Chacham? Right? So that is the din of Hitrat Malamisa. That's a special Kiddush Zeris HaKosov of the Torah against what most people think in most political philosophies, that you shouldn't punish someone unless they accepted it on themselves. So that's the first step. Second step is, well, the need to be amazed, he has to do the Aveira's amazed. He can't be amazed later. You're only chayiv if you're amazed when you did the Aveira. If I did the Aveira, then later said, I did the Aveira B'shogeg. Then later I said, you know what? I would have done it B'mezid. Nah, that we don't punish you for. You have to do the Aveira B'mezid. He drafts Malamisa, it can be afterwards, as long as it's still relevant. The third Kiddush step of Rav Shimon is, what's the difference between Makos and Ksuvos? In Makos, you don't know if he's amazed or not. In Ksuvos, what do you mean you don't know if he's amazed? The guy just was an Eid Zomri, testified falsely in court. Can any human being think that it's mutter to testify falsely in court? Is there any suffix whether he's mazin or shogeg? I don't understand. In Shiloh HaKan, some people are mazin, some people are shogeg. Even in Shavuos, a guy could have taken a lot of oaths, and some people remember, some people don't. There's a lot you can forget. Hey, over here, I'm getting up in court. I'm saying you killed someone and trying to punish you in court and you didn't kill them. There's no Havamina. And if everyone's amazing in that. No human being. I mean, look, if the guy's an imbecile, then maybe he can be shogeg, then he's potter anyways, a shoteh. No one who is above the IQ of a shoteh could possibly think that. And therefore, what does he say? He says, by a zomim, everyone is amazing. Now, this is like a classic, like, Yeshiv Shalomdus, right? Mikzvidina and Shoha. One is the one din, the other is the other din. Let's chazer for a second. In Makos, we taka don't know if you're mazed or shogeg. To know that you're mazed, b'shas haveira, you have to be mazed. In Ksubas, we know you're mazed. Everyone's mazed in Eid Zomei. No one could possibly think it's mutter. Ah, we only need hasra for Hitrat Olamisa. Hitrat Olamisa, you can fill in afterwards. What's the one philosophical assumption of Rav Shimon? What's his philosophical assumption? There's a lot of lumbus. What's his philosophical assumption?
First of all, that Tamar Chacham knows going to know.
Philosophical assumption that everyone knows that it's usher to give false testimony. What if someone doesn't know it says that in the Chumash? Does everyone know what it says in the Chumash? There are a lot of people who don't know the Ten Commandments. There are more people who act as if they don't know the Ten Commandments. There are a lot of people who actually don't know the Ten Commandments. Right? So what does Rav Shimon say? He says, what do you mean everyone's amazed? Not everyone knows the Ten Commandments by heart. No. Even if someone doesn't know the Ten Commandments, even if someone's not from at all and never heard of the Chumash, they're still amazed. Because Eid Zomim is not usher because it says in the Chumash. Eid Zomim is usher without the Chumash, because it's sichli, it's obvious through natural morality that you can't give false testimony. Therefore, even if someone doesn't know what it said in the Chumash, they're amazed because they know that al pi seichel ha'anoshi, based on human morality, you can't give false testimony about someone. He adds the same thing we should for murder. Murder, you don't need to warn the guy to make sure he's amazed. Everyone knows you're not allowed to murder, even if they never heard of the Chumash, they know you're not allowed to murder. You only have to warn him for the din of hitzrat molavisa. Now, let's just think about this for 1 second. According to this, what would be the chiddush would come out? If you killed someone, but you could still, you have a defibrillator or something. I don't know if that works when you kill someone. You poison someone, and you could still give the antidote. Then we could give you hasra when you don't give the antidote. I already did the maisa. Of course, you did the maisa. Amazing. Everyone knows not to kill. We don't have to clarify that you knew not to kill. Every human being knows not to kill. We only need to be hitzratzul lamisa. So even afterwards, when you don't give the antidote, you can be matratzul lamisa. Okay, interesting. Now, for me, Rav Shimon, I don't know if that case ever happened. But this is Rav Shimon l'shitase. In the Hakdamah, the Shari Yosher, right? Rav Shimon's famous book is
a few years ago. They had this already.
Right, but they weren't brought to Besdin, etc. I will add for a second. I will add. Okay, maybe or maybe I will not relate to that. If I will, just confuse it philosophically. But it's a key to confuse it philosophically. We'll just finish Rav Shimon first. This Rav Shimon l'shitase saying the Hakdamah of the Shari Yosher, his whole Hakdamah of the Shari Yosher, which is his main sefer, his magnum opus. His whole time with Shari Yosher, he explains how, within Judaism, of course things start with sichli, with what's naturally moral, naturally immoral, and then the Torah builds on that. But of course, he doesn't mean philosophically, halachically, part of what the Torah assumes is part of the halachic structure, not just philosophy. Part of the warp and woof of the halachic fabric is, according to Rav Shimon l'shitase, in the beginning of Shari Yosher and here, is sichlis, is natural morality. If someone wants to then get political, philosophical, whatever, and say, that's l'shitase that he taught him YU because he was more modern, that's your own business.
That's why he was in Washington Heights, too. That's why the boy is
Okay, we're not getting into that now. That's a big sugya, which we'll get into Tuesdays, not on Thursdays.
He's just saying, so Tamar Chacham is warned not for the sugya of amazing, but for the sugya
for the kiva, right.
But he doesn't have to be warned for sugya.
Exactly. And you just have to make the okimta. The Gemara in Makos is someone who is not a Tamar Chacham, which is not a crazy okimta. Most people are not Tamar Chacham.
There was a maisa where these yeshiva brothers stole from the kitchen. And I think Rav Masel went around and asked, did you steal this and that? And he got to his knees and he still said, no, we don't hold that structure. So we can see here the Tamar Chacham.
Okay. So here, this will be relevant in a moment. First, let me explain how this is philosophically relevant. This is exactly what you just said. Sometimes it's good to kill people. Sometimes it's good to steal. Sometimes it's good to. After all, if you think about it, you don't think that there are people today who might mistakenly think that, I don't know, I'm an equal opportunity offender, right? On the internet, don't worry, I'm offending everyone. No one's allowed to quote half of my sentence. Aren't there people in this country who might really logically, mistakenly think that it's okay to give false testimony about an innocent person in Beis Din if it will stop the hitnakut, or if it will stop the chok yos b'nei yeshiva? I bet I could find you a dozen people for each of those scenarios. So you're right. One could question Rav Shimon and say, Seichel Anoshi only goes so far. You could always have svaras to get around natural morality, and you can find this pagam in natural morality. This is, of course, the main philosophical problem that Kant dealt with. The problem is you can like his solution or not like his solution, but that is choreg mi miskeret ha shiur. We won't go into that, but that is a good point. That is a very good point. I mean, this is Kant's main contribution, that he gave the wrong answer to this problem. That seichel anoshi, you can always make excuses for. Rav Shimon apparently didn't think that. Rav Shimon was a very straight guy. He thought it was so pushy you can't give false testimony that everyone's amazing. Okay, it's Arhiyah.
You don't have to say that's very deep.
I know you don't have to say it. I just said Rav Shimon said. I'm about to say that you don't have to.
Is it possible to say that?
It is possible. Exactly. It is eminently possible, and I will mention that in half a second.
Oh, okay.
I think it's actually 2 days in Tosfos. But...
ignoring the fact that the Beit Zonamim, it's itself based on Xeris Akasov, that we believe the second as opposed to the first.
And therefore?
That's
Xeris Akasov, but I don't know if that affects the mind frame and liability of the. But once that Xeris Akasov comes into play, maybe they should have to be regulated.
They have it saying that that's Mathias, it may not be.
Okay, I hear the Taina. Look, the Maskana Sasodia. Xeris Akasov trumps the rule of Asra also, and you're right, even though it's a different parsha. Yeah. But at least, even if you could make one disk get out of it, he has a reasonable lechora al-panav argument, even if you could get out of it. Now, let's just examine whether Rav Shimon's right or wrong. Let's leave our sugya now and think about the issue of Hasra. This is a fascinating hakira. What is the hakira? The hakira is why you need hasra according to the chachamim. Let's see again what Rav Yossi Bar Yehuda says. Lo nitna hasra ella lehavchin ben shogig lemezid. Hasra is only so we can tell if someone's shogig or mezid. No more and no less. Kach zok Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda. The Chachamim, who we paskin like, therefore, Talmud Chacham, chaver, eino tzarech hasra. What did the Chachamim say? The Chachamim say that chaver tzarech hasra. But why? A chaver in a tzarech hasra, because he's obviously amazed. Right? A chaver is obviously amazed. He's a chaver. No, but the Chacham say a chaver tzarech hasra. The question is why? So, why does a chaver need hasra? So what did Rav Shimon say? Rav Shimon said it was not because of amazed. It was an additional din. It was a tzvei dinim. Rav Shimon says in the end, Rav Yossi has one din of Hasra, and we have tzvei dinim of Hasra. That's it. So one answer is Rav Shimon. Right? Rav Shimon Shtok answers that it's beis dinim. Besides Zadon, you need Heter Atzmo Lemisa. But, what does the Rambam say that? How did the Rambam answer this question? Exactly. Says the Rambam. He says funny. He says very peculiar. He says, a chaver needs hasra because lo nitna habchana hasra lahavim shogim lemesit. He uses Rabbi Yossi Rehuda's logic for the chachamim. What does the Rambam say? Lehavchin Ben Shogeg Lemezid. According to Rav Shimon, what is the Machlokes? Machlokes is Rav Yossi has one din, and the Chachamim have two dinim. Okay, that's 2 days in Tosos, and Daphim Aleph Amad Aleph, whether Rav Yossi has one din or two dinim, but let's grant that. The Rambam says, Mahakami Shogeg Lemezid. But if it's a half kinyan shogeg mezid, we know a chaver is a mezid. So what's the answer for the Rambam? But how can you say a chaver needs a sra? L'hav kinyan shogeg mezid. You know, Rebel Yashiv is eating ham. So you have to give him a sra. L'hav kinyan shogeg mezid. You think he doesn't know that ham is treif? So what does he mean?
He's shogeg on the facts, not on the halacha.
But it's obviously ham.
Not necessarily.
You never know. What does he? What did the Mefarshim explain? What does he mean? Lahavdim in shogi lemezit. According to the mainstream Mefarshim, according to Mefarshim, what does he mean? Lahavdim in shogi lemezit. He says because even chaver, you never know. There's a slight chance of shogeg. What is a slight chance of shogeg? Maybe he forgot that it's Shabbos today. How likely is it? We're doctoring that someone's senile, right? Someone who's responsible with their actions. Is it likely that the guy forgot a Shabbos? Sees everyone with their Shabbos bekishes and strimals? Yeah, but you never know. Maybe he forgot a Shabbos. Is it likely that he forgot this was ham and it looked to him like a cucumber? You never know what someone might forgot. That's what the Mefarshim say. The Mefarshim say that there's still a small chance he is making a mistake. And they give a few examples. What are some of the examples they give? For example, the Magen Mishnah says, maybe he made a mistake on the facts. Of course he knows the halacha, but maybe he forgot a Shabbos. Is that likely? No, but maybe he forgot a Shabbos. Maybe he forgot a tam, and he thought it was beef. Or, adds the Radvaz, maybe even Talmud Chacham forgot the halacha. Talmid Chacham are only human beings, even though to us, you say, Rebbe Yashav or Rebbe Vadya forgot a halacha. Sounds very unlikely. But you never know, it could be, right? We're only human beings. Maybe he forgot the halacha. Maybe he forgot that ham is treif. Is it likely? No, but it's possible. It's not against the laws of science. If you told a scientist, a big rabbi forgot the halacha, what would the scientist tell you? Boy, that's an unlikely occurrence, but it's not a miracle. It's within the laws of science. Or, as they're advised, maybe he didn't know that he was doing the action he was doing. For example, maybe he thought he was just putting on a play, and he was just, for some reason, wanted to scare people. So he thought he was just putting the ham in his mouth and spitting it out as a hatzagah. And then accidentally he swallowed it. Maybe he thought he was just pointing to where the light switch was on Shabbos and accidentally turned it on. Is that likely? No. But it's all possible. So they think if either he didn't know he would do the act, that he was doing that action, he thought he was only going to do a lower action, or he didn't know the object that it was the same object, or he forgot the halacha even though he's a Talmud Chacham. He's a forgetful, he's an absent-minded Talmud Chacham. Enough, you're a Shemayim, maybe you wouldn't forget. Who knows? He's only human. None of us are malachim. So therefore, there's a small chance he's making a mistake. That's Pashup Shad in the Rambam. As the Ketzov says, then what's the machlok in the chamer of Yosef Rabbi Yehuda? If there's a small chance of making a mistake, then how can Yosef Rabbi Yehuda kill him? So what's the machlokas? If there's a 10% chance that he's making a mistake and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda is still going to kill the guy? The 20% chance of making a mistake and he's still going to kill the guy? Okay, so the answer is, it's a very small chance of making a mistake. They're arguing over the standards of evidence, right? Just like everyone else argues, right? Every day, any lawyers here? Right? Every day the lawyers are arguing, beyond a reasonable doubt, preponderance of evidence, this, that, I don't even understand what these words mean. Neither do they, so it's okay. But that's the machlokes. The machlokes is that Rabbi Yossi says that,
You take his words that he said for
The standard is to be convinced that he is mazed. That's his standard. We're convinced he's mazed. Rov chazaka. While the chachamim say no. The standard is to be absolutely sure. As a matter of fact, if we're using American legal terminology, what would I say? Rabbi Yosef says, you have to know he's amazing beyond a reasonable doubt. And the Rachaim saying you have to know he's amazing beyond an unreasonable doubt. Right? Rios says there's no reasonable doubt. If he looks like amazing, he's amazing. Chum say, no. We're so machrim dina nefashos that he has to be guilty beyond an unreasonable doubt. So even if you have a far out chance he might be a shogeg, you have to warn him to make sure. Reasonable doubt, unreasonable doubt. Okay, that's pashut pshat in the Rambam.
Why can't you just say that there's a different vision of human nature? Rav Yossi holds that Talmud Chacham would never make a mistake.
Uh-huh.
And the Chachamim say, well, there's tithers, we know, whatever, well, David HaMelech.
Well, no. If there's tithers, then he's amazing. The Chacham have to say, better yet, the Chacham say there's taivas that can influence you subconsciously and make you do things b'shogeg, maybe. Which is, no, because if then he's amazing, then they shouldn't argue. If his taivas make him do it, then he's amazing, then they should agree against Malchus or Misa. So you could say they're arguing.
He's
fooling himself, exactly. Reb Yossi Rehuda doesn't think people fool themselves so well, and the Chachamim think people fool themselves better. Right? They could be arguing on psychology. The reason I'm reluctant to say that is that maybe just because I'm too yeshivish, I'd rather say they're arguing about halacha than about mitzvahs. They could be arguing about psychology. I just prefer to say, for no absolutely necessary reason, that they're arguing about the din, but you're right. You could say they're arguing psychology. The Chachamim think it's highly unlikely the guy's a shogeg. And Rabbi Yossi really thinks it's highly unlikely the Talmud Chacham is a shogeg. And the Chachamim thinks it's somewhat likely he's a shogeg. They argue about psychology. Could be they argue about psychology. I'm not terribly attracted to that, but it could be. Or they argue about psychology, exactly, about the psychology of Mora Heter. It could be. Now, Rav Schechter, if anyone noticed, it's Morty was kind enough to scan it and send it out. Rav Schechter wrote in the Eretz HaTzvi, and Yaakov told me that he checked with him, and Rav Schechter says that he remembers that he heard this from the Rav. I also remember that someone told me they heard this from the Rav. So apparently the Rav didn't write this anywhere. I looked in the Shiurim and Sanhedrin. I didn't see this in the Rav Shiurim and Sanhedrin. But at least some of the Talmid have heard from the Rav. A slightly more lumdish pshat in the Rambam. Sorry, before I go on to the Rav. This is the pshat of the Ktzos. What does the Ktzos say? The Ktzos says that Rav Yossi is lehavchin ben shogeg lemezid. The Chachamim also mean lehavchin, but they mean lehavchin bebirur ben shogeg lemezid. Do you just have to tell in reasonable ways, or you have to be borer legamri? You have to be absolutely clear. And the chumra of the Torah is that, according to the Chachamim, lehavchin bebirur ben shogeg lemezid, not just lehavchin sam. The Rambam Shemar also suggests this. He says he thinks what the Rambam is saying is, says Rabbi Yossi Yehuda says it's just a beaver. You just have to know that he's amazing. He says the Chachamim, according to some people, say it's just Zeres HaKasa, nothing to do with the Shogeg, you're amazing. And the Rambam's Chachamim is a beaver up in Zeres HaKasa. The Zeres HaKasa may be more borrower than normal. Okay, that's a nice way of expressing it. Rabbi Yossi Yehuda is beaver. Rav Yosef Yehuda is just Lahavkin, Rav Shimon Shkaf's version of the Chachamim is Gzir Sakasav, and the Rambam, most people's version of the Chachamim is Lahavkin Al Pi Gzir Sakasav, a high standard of Chana. I'll just point out that, and I think I heard Rav Schechter, I don't think said this in the article, but I heard that the Rav wanted to say this in the Rambam. So, the Rambam, Lefi, the Rav, Bipi Ashmua, I don't know if it's true or not, I never learned by the Rav. But there are those who report such Rav Schechter that this is the Rambam's shot. The Rambam says, Lahavchin doesn't mean to be really sure he's amazing, he's not making a mistake. Rather, what does Rav Schechter say? That why does a chaver need asra? It's a higher level of mazid. A higher level of zadon. He says, really, he is mazid. But who's more mazid? I mean, if you think about it, who's more amazed? Imagine you have kids. One kid knows he's not allowed to take candy from the pantry. And he takes candy from the pantry. He's amazed. It wasn't a misunderstanding. He's amazed. The second kid goes to the pantry, You tell him, you better not take candy from the pantry. You get punished for doing that. It's absolutely forbidden. I don't let you take candy from the pantry. So, as soon as you turn your back, he takes candy from the pantry. So, they're both mazed, but the second one's a bigger mazed. And that you know with more certainty. The standard report should say, the first one is amazed, but you never know, maybe he made a mistake. The second one, you know he's amazed for sure. No, that's not what Rav Sheff says. Rav Sheff says, the first one's amazed, but the second one's a chutzpan. The second one's a super amazed. And therefore, maybe that's tough. Again, it doesn't seem to fit the word lahavchin very well. But he says, right, or let's, you know what, let's just say the rub. Bipi Hashmua says a third shot, says it's not to find out whether he's a mazid or a shogeg. Right? It's to make him more of a mazid than he was until now. Until now, he knew what he was doing was wrong, but now he's really megalopon in the Torah. Now he's a chutzpan. And you only kill someone if they're not only mazid, but they're a chutzpan, they're a super mazid. So what does he say? It says it makes him a bigger mazid. And it raises the zadum. It's more zadum to violate a hasra than to just do something that you know is wrong. It's a bigger zadum.
A Lipson once talked about the difference between, I remember this, I was here in Gavin Tel Aviv one, the difference between knowing the Chumrah Ta'isr and Chumrah Ta'onish, because the Chumrah Ta'onish makes them a lahis. He said in the context in when he's learning the Torah.
Chumrah Ta'isr and Chumrah Ta'onish. Mm-hmm. Very nice. Right, it's about just being more lahachis. As a matter of fact, there's a Gemara that says, where's the Gemara say this? Gemara says in Chulin, I don't remember where, someone who's a Makabal Hasra? Someone who's Makabal Hasra is a Momer Lahachis. They're not talking about art, so yeah, they're just talking about, you know, whether he's kosher for Shechita or not. But what does the Gemara say? Yeah! If you do the wrong thing, you're an Avari B'Mesid. If you do the wrong thing after Hasra, you're a Momer Lahachis. It's just a greater level of Mesid. Come say he's only Chayav if he is a super mazid, meaning a momer lahachis kind of mazid. A mazid who is unashamed. Correct. He not allowed to begin. He says, Amanas. Amanas came. Okay. There are other pshatim as well. I noticed after I wrote the Makor sheet, a fascinating Pnei Yoshua and Ksuvas. We're learning the second paragraph. We would be ma'ayin in this. The Pnei Yoshua and Ksuvas says something very radical. Chafbeza and Beza, you can look it up. He says, you know why Chavar needs Hasra? He takes the rhyme with the twist. Says, not just because he might be making a mistake. This is very radical. Says, we might be making a mistake. He says, you know what? Maybe we think it's Usher, but maybe it's not really Usher. Maybe it's imitation ham. Maybe we're making a mistake. Maybe, you know, this light on Shabbos is not really a light that it looks like. It's really some sort of LED light that's not Chol Shabbos. Doraisa. Maybe, you know, hey, the guy's about to kill someone. Maybe the guy he's killing is a Rodef. Maybe the guy he's killing is a Gavra Katila. Yeah, who knows? That's very radical. Pnei Yoshua suggests that, you know why Chavar needs Hasra? Not just there's a slight chance he's making a mistake. There's a slight chance we're making a mistake and he's talking doing something permissible, or at least doing something not punishable. Okay, that's a big finish. What? The Hasra accomplishes that. If he says, Amanaski Nani Oseh, then he admits that what he's doing is Usr, and if everyone admits, then we know that it's Usr. After all, both sides say it's Usr, us and him, then we assume it's Usr. That's very radical. Not only maybe he thinks it's Mutter, but maybe he's right. But we're not going to get into that. Now, that is a fascinating question of, basically, can someone be Nema to say they know something's Mutter, even though everyone thinks it's Usr? Good on saying. He knows what Sugi that comes from, right? That's Sugi Nisa Slecha Me'edeha, right? Okay, we're not getting into that now. Okay. Now, I'll just point out, very briefly, perhaps, or I really shouldn't at all, that when it comes to Hitar Atzmol Misa, I want to ask a question. Hold on a second. Let's leave the Rav. Make sure we know there are three shots in here. So this Rav Shimon, an Arsug, is a big Kiddush, right? The big Kiddush is that he makes him Tzvei Dinim, Who says it's Tfeilinim? Maybe Hasra, according to the Rambam, you couldn't give his pshat. According to the Rambam, you even in Talmud Chacham needs Hasra b'shas Maisa. Because maybe he's really a shogeg. Even a Talmud Chacham might be a shogeg. Agav, you could then ask, this is what Joel was saying before, why didn't he hitaratz molamisa according to the Rambam? Why didn't he hitaratz molamisa? After all, as long as he says, we tell him that it's Aser, then he knows. So you could even go so far as to say, that's an open question, which I'm not getting into now. According to the Rambam, might he also in the end admit that it's Tfeilinim and hitaratz molamisa is a second din? He just puts Chavar in din A instead of din B? Or, what Joel says, no, even hitaratz molamisa is because of the small chance he's making a mistake. If we tell him, you should know, it's Aser, etc., etc., and he doesn't say, I'm an askinani oseh, he still might be making a mistake. I don't understand. We tell him, you should know, we're going to kill you, you're turning on the light on Shabbos, and he does it anyway, maybe there's a slight chance he's making a mistake. Maybe the reason he did it anyway is because he thought that it was mutter. So, what, do you have to believe every crackpot who tells you not to do something? Right? You can go around the city, you can find people to tell you everything's not here and you shouldn't do it. And what should you do? You should ignore them. Okay, so maybe he's ignoring them because he's making a mistake. So the only way that we can tell that he's not making a mistake is if he says, even if he says, afal pi kein ani oseh. Maybe what he means is, even though you think it's usher, I'm doing it because I think it's mutter. The only way to know for sure that he's not making a mistake, if he says, al manas kein ani oseh, then he's admitting that he's not making a mistake and he knows that he's going to be punished. So you could say, hitaratz molamisa is just, that's what Joel is saying, a shear in, again, for the Rambam, it could be a shear in birur hazadon, and for the Rambam, it could be a shear in zadon. Right, but then it could be a shear in zadon. Agav, this ties into Tosos. Tosos has the following question. According to Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, how about the fact he wasn't hitaratz molamisa? So, one answer of Tosos is, Rav Yosef Yehuda doesn't require hitaratz molamisa. He only has one din. The other answer is, a Talmud Chacham is like Bataratz Molamisa. The first answer is saying Hitaratz Molamisa is a separate din. Second answer is saying no. A Talmud Chacham for Rias Yehuda counts as Hitaratz Molamisa. Why? Hitaratz Molamisa just means he knows it's wrong. And a Talmud Chacham knows it's wrong. So that's what, here we have three different drachim of understanding Hasra Lufi Chachamim, let's just chazer. The Rav Shimon Shkup says that Hasra Lufi Chachamim is the same as Hasra Lufi Rias Yehuda. To know you're amazed. But there's a second din that you need hitaratz molamisa, that we don't kill anyone unless they agree to be killed. Big chiddush. The second shot is the shot in the Rambam. No, lahav kimin shogel amazed. Rav Yosef Yehuda says beyond a reasonable doubt. We say beyond an unreasonable doubt, you need to be not 99. You need to be 100% sure he's amazed. What's the only way to be 100% sure he's amazed? Give him asra and wait till he says I'm an askin any oseh, because otherwise he might still be making a mistake and just ignoring you. And the third shot is the Rav, which is a bit more mechudish, is that it's not to know he's amazed, it's to be a bigger amazed, it's a higher level of zadon, and therefore he'd say a chaver might be amazed, but the achamim say we only kill him if he's a higher level of zadon. And once we give him asra, and not only that, he accepts the asra and says I'm doing it alman askin, then he's the biggest level of zatel. Yes.
Is that implying that a regular person doesn't need the same level of being amazing, then you could kill them?
No, it's just a regular person. It's pasha needs asra because he mamish doesn't know it's aser. And I'm aretz. We don't have to discuss why an aretz needs asra because he taka doesn't know what's aser and what's mutter. Right. We only have to discuss why a talmud chacham needs asra.
So
that's the
why do we have to make him a bigger amazing?
I would say, so the Chacham have a big chiddush. Someone's only chayev for being a super mazid. A regular mazid is not chayev. The Torah's only a chayev super mazids. That's a big chiddush.
For both kinds of?
Yes. For all kinds of people. Sorry, I misunderstood your question. Okay, let's briefly take that a little further in the Gemara for one moment. The Gemara says the Gemara. Let's just remember, again, trace our breadcrumbs back. We wanted to know, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that Kederish also means to get Malkus, and you're exempt from Mamon. So why does a Chovel pay Mamon, and why does a Zoman pay Mamon? So, first answer was, Beferish Rubs of Torah, the Drush of the Pasuk of Yad B'Yad, and Kedi Nosinbo. That was one Mahalach. The new Mahalach is no, because specific reasons. We tried, we may or may not have succeeded, remember that machlokas from the end of last year, because of Eid alone, because that Surah is a specific reason. And what's the specific reason because of Chobel? Because of this following reason. What does he say? Rav Shisha Braid Rav Ibi Amar Cholacher Anami Mar Mishal Megalolak Mihacha. You can also show, just like Rabbi Elazar just tried to show, that Neid Zomen pays Mammon instead of Malkus based on logic. I can show you, without a drasha, I can show you that a Chovel pays money instead of Malkus based on logic without a drasha. Not without a pasuk, but without a drasha. Why? Because it's a pasuk that two people are fighting and one of them accidentally hits a pregnant lady and caused a miscarriage. That the Torah is talking about a fighting that is to the death. The Torah is talking about a lethal battle, right? Meaning two guys are fighting, trying to kill each other. How does he know they're fighting, trying to kill each other? Because the Gemara says, that if someone does die, you get Mises Bezdins. That shows that you were Mises trying to kill someone. So he was trying to kill his friend. But Matzah Shem Mises Kosev Medaber. Because he's chayav misa if he does kill someone, and therefore that shows that he was trying to kill someone. Hey chidami, what's the case? If they didn't give hasra'a, then why would he be killed for murder? Obviously it's because they did give him hasra'a. What do we see? If they give him hasra'a and he murders, he gets misa spesden. If we give him hasra'a and he miscarries the woman's fetus, then he pays money. So what do we see here? Elopshita Asra must be give Asra. Musul Dover Khamra Sudar Kal. And Asra for Khumra also counts Asra for Kal. Meaning they gave Masra, don't kill your friend. I know where he said friend Khamr. Don't kill your colleague. Right? Don't kill your colleague. If you kill your colleague, you'll be Chayiv Misa. And obviously, if we gave Masra of Chayiv Misa, that also counts for Chayiv Malkus, because that's less than Chayiv Misa. What does the Torah say? We gave him Malkus for Misa. Malkus for Misa. We're also Yotze Malkus for... Sorry. We gave him Hasra for Misa. We're also Yotze Hasra for Malkus. So it says, if we gave him Hasra for Malkus. And now, if he hits the pregnant lady and miscarries, he has to pay money. Hold on a second. If he hits the pregnant lady, he's a Chovel. He violated Pen Yosef Lakoso, and he should be Chayiv Malkus. So why does he pay for the miscarriage? He should get Malkus. Ella, this proves that Chovel Bachamero pays money instead of Malkus. Okay, Maski Flor Vashi, Mimai de Musul Dover Chamim Musul Dover Kal, Dimelo Havi. He says, Rav Ashi, who is it says, hold on, you're making an assumption. They gave him Asra for Misa. Right? Let's just review the scenario. No long this here. Just Pashup Shah in the Gemara. What is Pashup Shah in the Gemara? Pashup Shah in the Gemara is, what's the case? Asom, he gets Misa. Right? A miscarriage, right? He pays Mama. What's the case? Since if there's an Asun he gets Misa, it must be, the case is Hasra Lemisa. Otherwise, how do you get Misa? If there was Hasra Lemisa, then what's the problem? Equals Hasra Lemalkos, because Hasra for Chomer counts as Hasra for Kal. And if he gets Hasra for Malkus, the one we see here. We see here that he pays Mammon instead of getting Malkos, which shows, Rav Yochanan said you get Malkus instead of Mammon. That shows Chovel is one of the exceptions. And what does Rashi back to him? You're assuming, remember Rav Yochanan, you're assuming this is Hasra counts Hasra for Malkus? No. Maybe Hasra for Misa does not count Hasra for Malkus. Maybe Hasra for a big punishment doesn't count Hasra for a small punishment. Maybe the reason they pay Mammon is because there's no Hasra. Doesn't prove what would happen if there was Asra. The Intim Shalom Havi, Maid Misa Mor Delma Malkus Chomer. Not only that, even if you say that Asra for Chomer does count as Kal, how do you know Misa is more Chomer than Malkus? Maybe Malkus is more Chomer than Misa? The Amar Rav Amol and Yidu Al-Hanan and Shalazar Yipopo and Talmud, they said, if they had beaten Hanan and Shalazar, they would have bowed to the idol, let's say. They're willing to sacrifice their lives, they weren't willing to undergo torture. Doesn't that prove that Malkus is worse than Misa? The answer is obviously not. Oh my son, read Ravashi, the Rashi, your armor, son, read Ravashi, the Rashi. The Loshani Loch Bain, Hakashi, Ishla Kitzba, La Hakash, Shed, Ain Ma Kitzba. He says, nah, that last point is not true.
you don't know the difference between a fixed number of malchus and an unending torture. Of course, if they had told Chanan Mishal Azar, you're giving you 39 lashes, they wouldn't have had that for the idol. They would take the 39 lashes. Of course, Malchus is less than Misa. It just means indefinite torture might be worse than death. But 39 Malchus, which is here today and gone in 10 minutes, of course that's not worse than death. Don't be silly. Fine. Okay, we'll come back to that. What's the point here? Where we're going to end today? There's a machlokas in the Gemara whether Musul Adabar Chomer is Musul Adabar Kal or not. Whether Asra for something more Chomer counts as Asra for something more Kal, or doesn't count as Asra for something more Kal. We have a simple question here, which is, logically, if I warn you, you're going to get a big punishment and you do it anyway, then of course, logically, should that count as Asra for a small punishment or not? If you're willing to do it and get a big punishment, then obviously you'd be willing to do it and get a small punishment, so obviously you're amazed. So why is Rav Ashi saying that it's not possible to have a cow? What's the svara of Rav Ashi, really, who's been conversed from Shish Brei Ravidi makes sense. What's the svara of Ashi? Why should a bigger restaurant not count for smaller? Right, I tell you, like, don't eat the hand, you'll get skila. So of course that should count to give you malchus. You're willing to get skila and eat the ham. So of course you're willing to get malchus and eat the ham. What's the svara of Rav Ashi? And Tosos here has two deus. What's the svara of Rav Ashi? And the two deus are basically practical or formal. Right? Practical or formal. What are Tosos' two deus? Tosos says, "Mimaydi musul davar chomer musul davar kal dilma lo havi ein lo mer de time yishum da arigu de kibul asrod de nichulei li harig al menashi yarg sono de thomas nafshi and plishdim hu de karmer avolo nichulei la hakus chaver al menashi al kuhu ein lo mer is the first shot, right? Obviously, you only say ein lo mer, so it's said. Tosas didn't write. Tosas Musa Dabar Chomer. Ein Lomar, that space aliens came down and gave him a different Hasra. No, you only say Ein Lomar when another regional thinks that shot. So what's the first shot in Tosos? The first shot in Tosos is, practically, he really wasn't amazed. What does this mean? The reason Musa Dabar Chomer is not Musa Dabar Kal is because, we're not talking the same Aveira. We warned you, if you kill him, you'll get Nisa. But really, Musul Dabar, what's the first shot? Really, Musul Dabar Chomer is Musul Dabar Kal. If we warn you, if you eat ham, you'll get Nisa, that counts for Malchus. But over here, it's apples and oranges. We warned you, if you kill him, you get Nisa. We didn't tell you what happened if you injured someone. Maybe you were really a shogeg. You thought injuring was okay. You thought injuring was not an Aveira. You thought injuring was not punishable. What did you say? You said to yourself, I'm willing to kill him to die. But I'm not willing to hit him and get Malchus. That makes sense. I'm willing to die to kill him because I hate him so much. But I'm not willing to hit him and then get 39 Malchus. That's not to die for me. Right? So therefore, you were shogeg. You thought killing was chayav misa, but injuring was putter. And you said, great, I'll kill him chayav misa, and if I injure him, besader, that's not a big aveira, so I don't care. If you had known that injuring was Chayav Malchus, you would have refrained. You're really a shogeg. You really did it because you didn't realize that it was a big Aveira. If you had known injuring was a big crime, you would have been more careful. So maybe you really are a shogeg. The first answer to Tosfos is practical. It's saying, of course Davar HaChomer includes Davar HaKal for the same act. But Davar HaChomer punishment for murder does not include a Kal punishment for injury because I didn't know there's any punishment for injury. It's worth it for me to murder him and get killed. It's not worth it for me to hit him and get Malchus. I would have refrained. If you had only told me, I wouldn't have done it. I was ignorant. So it really is shogeg. Tosfos says he doesn't like that shot. He doesn't like that shot because in the Gemara Sanhedrin, when they discuss why if a guy chayv skila gets mixed up with a guy chayv sreifa, you give them both the lower punishment, Gemara says, well, that makes sense if Musul Dabar Chomer is Musul Dabar Kal. But otherwise, it doesn't make sense. Here we're talking about for the same crime. The guy did his crime. You can only give him a lower punishment. Even for the same crime, the Gemara in Sanhedrin assumes that there's a manda amar, musul davar chomer, ainu musul davar kal, that a greater punishment does not include a lower punishment. So what does Tosfos say in the end? What does Tosfos say? Avola, daha masnishi, you can't say that pshat, perikon esrafim, By the way, if you want to defend that pshat, you probably just have to say that that gemara is lav davka. It doesn't really mean our sukkah. They were just using the words of our sukkah, but they really don't mean the same halachic concept. And that's the chuk. The gedalin chay misa shesar v'yaduna b'kalam. Gamar gemara shema mina moslo dover chomer moslo dover kal. V'asam shita chin hispro skilo v'kido kol shkin shem hispro chenek aloso dover atzvani makabel. V'afilo achi barlo mimin moslo dover chomer lohav moslo dover kal. Elu yishlom it exeres akasim udu b'ina sheyatar asim lo osa misa bin kal bin chomer. It's exeres akasim. He needs to accept the exact punishment, whether more or less. He needs to accept the exact punishment. Xeris HaKasim, he needs to accept the exact punishment. Basically, these 2 days in Tosfos, I think, are discussing this same issue. What's the point? If the point of Asura is to make sure he's a shogay, then you have to say, like, the first day in Tosfos, and you have to say the words on Edrin's Lav Davka. That's really discussing whether a chai, someone who's chai of a bigger misa, is chai of a smaller misa. It's not really about Asura, which is a little dachuk. But I admit. But the first day in Tosos fits for the Rambam. The point of Asra is lahavchin ben shogeg lemezid, to make sure he's a mezid. So why shouldn't her include Tau? Because maybe it was worth it for him to get the chomer and kill his enemy, but not worth it for him to get a kal and hit his enemy. Certainly not worth it for him to get a kal and hit the lady. The second answer of Tosos fits with Rosh Hashanah. He says, no, it has nothing with mezid and shogeg. It has to do with exeris akasim. He needs to accept the punishment. And if it's just exeris akasim, then who cares that it's obvious if he accepted Misa, he would accept Malkus. I don't care whether it's obvious. I care whether he actually accepted it or not. He has to actually accept the punishment. So these 2 days in Tosos seem to correspond to the same Hakira. Is Asra all about practically being 100% sure of whether he's making a mistake or not? And therefore, Rashi saying he might still be making a mistake. Or is it about just a Xeris HaKasim has to accept the Misa, in which case, a Xeris HaKasim has to accept the Misa, in which case, therefore, Chomer can't count for Kal because he didn't accept the Misa. Okay, we'll have to pick up with this part of the Sugya, Amir Tzashem and the rest going on to Amud Beis, Amir Tzashem on Monday, and we'll pick up again from this Tosos. I just wanted to show, we'll start again with this Tosos. I just wanted to show that it ties into this Hakira that we had about the nature of Asra, corresponds to the practical mistake answer in the beginning of Tosos, or the formal Kabbalah's Onish answer in the second part of Tosos. Where should we do Parsha work? Oh, someone's supposed to take the picture and email it to John.
Yeah, I do.
Right?